Madhava Kunjami Hari. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Govinda Ki Jai. Shri Jagannath Shri Baladev Srimati Subhadra Devi Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschati Veshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kashyapra everybody welcome Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we're just going to go straight to the text. A little pressed for time. So we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, with translations and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Tonight we're reading from chapter 13. Nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness. So we read from text 23. Is that right? Do you remember? Is it 22 or 23?
What's the matter?
I'm just trying to remember which text. I don't think we did 22, did we? Let's go to 22. So we're going to just chant the verse itself. Purusha Prakriti Stohi. Bhunkte Prakriti Janguna. Karanam Guna Sangasya. Sad asad yoni janmasu purusha prakriti stohi punkte prakriti chan gunan karanam guna sangasya sad asad yoni janmasu Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Jan Gunam Karanam Guna Sangasya Sarasa Jyoni Janmasu. So Carolyn, want to chant? Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Janganam Karanam Guna Sangasya Sarasa Jyoni Janmasu. So we'll go right to the translation. And for report, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. So please repeat. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This verse is very important for an understanding of how the living entities transmigrate from one body to another. It is explained in the second chapter that the living entity is transmigrating from one body to another, just as one changes dress. This change of dress is due to his attachment to material existence. As long as he is captivated by this false manifestation, he has to continue transmigrating from one body to another. Due to his desire to lord it over material nature, he is put into such undesirable circumstances. Under the influence of material desire, the entity is born sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a man, sometimes as a beast, as a bird, as a worm, as an aquatic, as a saintly man, as a bug. This is going on. And in all cases, the living entity thinks himself to be the master of his circumstances, yet he is under the influence of material nature. How he is put into such different bodies is explained here. It is due to association with the different modes of nature. One has to rise, therefore, above the three material modes and become situated in the transcendental position. That is called Krishna consciousness. Unless one is situated in Krishna consciousness, his material consciousness will oblige him to transfer from one body to another because he has his material desires since time immemorial. But he has to change that conception. That change can be effected only by hearing from authoritative sources. The best example is here. Arjuna is hearing the science of God from Krishna. The living entity, if he submits to this hearing process, will lose his long-cherished desire to dominate material nature, and gradually and proportionately, as he reduces his long desire to dominate, he comes to enjoy spiritual happiness. In a Vedic mantra, it is said that as he becomes learned in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he proportionately relishes his eternal blissful life. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shanyavari Paschatide Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. So I'll just repeat this verse again. The living entity in material nature thus follows the way of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. So the living entity is just following materialistic life and enjoying the three modes. It's materialistic enjoyment. It's not spiritual enjoyment. And this type of enjoyment of the modes, it causes the living entity to enter into different species and change, you know, from one to the next, just like you change your clothes. So when we talk about, you know, enjoying in the material world, that's what it's all about. Materialistic enjoyment of ignorance, passion, and goodness in different bodies. And Prabhupada was explaining some of those bodies here. Sometimes you're a bug, sometimes you're a demigod, or sometimes you're an aquatic. So anyway, this is because of our desires, right? And what happens? Krishna's telling Arjuna, in this association with the material nature, you meet with good and evil in different species of life. So sometimes so-called good, sometimes so-called evil. The demigods are relatively in goodness, and then there's different lower species. You know, you become a snake, an envious evil serpent. So different bodies, because of the desire to lord it over nature. So if we're wondering why right now we are still not fully happy in Krishna consciousness, it's because we still have that desire to enjoy material nature and to dominate material nature, to try to control it. Like if we're still, you know, going through anxieties, disturbances, frustrations, and we're not so happy and we're feeling in the modes, that's because we still hang on to that desire to dominate. We want to be the one who dominates. In other words, we want to control things so that we can enjoy with our body, with our mind and our senses. We want to take control because our desire to enjoy the body, the gross and the subtle body, is so strong that we, you know, with wrong intelligence, we think we want to enjoy like that. So that's why we want to dominate and control, because we're so hungry to enjoy a gross body and a subtle body that we want to be that kind of a controller. And so just reflect, you know, if you're ever feeling a little bit depressed or some kind of anxieties and frustrations and disturbances and lack of desire to serve or whatever, just, you know, step back and look at yourself and realize, because of the desire to try to enjoy such gross senses and such a disturbed mind, we are in this situation that we're in now, and we're not so happy. And so we wonder, why I'm not happy in devotional life? It's because we're still hanging on. We're still so attached to what we think is enjoyment, right? We have a very conditioned sense of what is enjoyment, right? The sense that we have is that if I can enjoy through this body and through this mind, then I will be happy. but the exact opposite happens. You will become more miserable. So this is why material world is designed like this, to frustrate the living entity so that the living entity will turn to what is reality. Wake up to the reality. You get so frustrated and so disturbed by not enjoying in this world. If you feel a little disturbed or a little frustrated these days, or if you don't feel so happy, look at why it is. It's because you keep trying to enjoy the body, the senses. You're captivated by the materialistic mind, all the rantings and ravings of the mind. You're listening to it with such careful attention, even more attention than Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. The madness of the mind has captivated you so much. Why? Because it's my mind. Right? I, me, mine. We're so attached because we think that it is me. Right? That's what we identify with as me. Therefore, we're so attached to it. And we'll do anything to try to gratify it, even though we're becoming more miserable. But because we're so attached, we don't understand that it's the cause of our misery. And we blame everything around us as the cause. Krishna's doing it. Krishna's doing this to me. That one, this one, right? All these things are the cause of my problems and given me so much frustration. But the actual truth is that our attachments to the gross body and the subtle mind are the problem. It's our own attachments, you see? So this is the situation of the living entity. And we have to learn how to rise above this and rise above the three modes of nature. And this is what Krishna consciousness is all about. We get out of this materialistic consciousness caused by our desires, and we become influenced by the modes. And we, in Krishna consciousness, we take up a process that frees us from those modes. But also, at the same time, we're going to have to be willing to give up material attachments. In other words, it doesn't mean you have to give up everything you're doing or what you own or your station in life. It means you just have to give up the material consciousness behind it. In other words, if you have a good job and a good career and a nice family and wonderful talents and a lot of material opulence, use it for Krishna. And then if in the future you get sufficient guidance from spiritual authorities to give up certain things, then you'll be prepared to think, I should give up some of these things. But meantime, if we have certain talents, someone may be a great musician, and they can use it for Krishna. Maybe in the future, they may be asked to give up their music career. Right? Maybe in the future, it's not favorable for them. So in other words, it's not like we have to give up everything to be Krishna conscious. What we do have to give up is our material consciousness, right? That's what we have to give up. And what we need to take into our life is hearing from authoritative sources. This is what Prabhupada is emphasizing in this purport here. And he's giving the example of Arjuna, hearing the science of God from Krishna. So in other words, Material consciousness will oblige us to keep transferring from body to body until we start hearing regularly from authoritative sources. Hearing, you know, with an open heart, not just like academic hearing, but really hearing with a heart desirous to change from, you know, miserable material consciousness to natural spiritual consciousness. And we have to change our conceptions, which is really a misconception. Our misconception is we think the body and the mind is us, right? They're us. That's who we are. But we have to change the conception. And Prabhupada's emphasizing the only way that change can be effected is if you hear. You have to hear from bona fide spiritual authorities. That is how there'll be a change of heart. It's not, we don't, you know, we're not the ones who have all the, you know, genius and intelligence to become, you know, the greatest spiritualist in the world. You know, it comes from mercy, from Krishna and Guru. We're not like the self-made spiritualists, right? This change that helps us to become pure and spiritual, it comes from Krishna and Guru. In the material world, everyone's thinking, because of my prowess, I have become this, right? But in spiritual life, we take a humble stance. That's the first, you know, aspect of knowledge, that humility. We take the humble stance that it's through the mercy and the blessings of Guru and Krishna that I can become purified and again situated in my natural state of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one becomes dependent. You know, dependent. Take a humble, dependent position and a grateful position that I have the opportunity to engage in association of devotees in this process of bhakti yoga, engage in service and hearing and chanting, you know? Don't let it slip through your hands, right? This opportunity. This is what's freeing you, right? But the thing is, like Prabhupada says here, everyone, he's saying, you have these long cherished desires. Cherished, it means it's like so dear to your materialistic heart. You cherish so much, it's so dear to your heart to dominate material nature. It's like you hold it so dear. I must control material nature because it gives me sense gratification. I cherish it so much. And this devotional service is getting in the way. Because I have to put so much time in, and I need my free time to cherish material desires. I need my time to myself so that I can listen more to my mind and feed my body. That's what I need. What we have to do is we have to submit, Prabhupada says, to the hearing process. Right? It says the living entity, if he submits to this hearing process, will lose his long-cherished desire to dominate material nature. And gradually and proportionately, as he reduces his long desire to dominate, he comes to enjoy spiritual happiness. Anybody wonder why they're not feeling happy some days? There's a reason for it. We still are insisting to dominate, right? Through the gross senses and the mind. I must dominate and get the gratification that I want for my body and mind. Not thinking at all about Krishna or who you are as a real person. You're just thinking about gratification for the machine. Gross and subtle. And that's not even who you are. right? So anyway, it's emphasizing that we can enjoy spiritual happiness if we can get rid of this insidious desire to dominate, but it comes through this hearing process and it has to be regular, right? Regular hearing. And that will break it down and dissipate it. So we're really fortunate that Prabhupada gives us a process and programs to regularly hear in association of devotees. And we can actually shed this horrible, you know, like envious snake-like skin of constantly trying to dominate. And, you know, my envy will be supported by my desire to dominate and enjoy my body and mind. And if I see somebody else who gets in the way of that, then I become envious like a serpent because they destroy the desire to control through my mind and body. What they're doing is disturbing the sense gratification that I have in my mind. That person is disturbing that sense gratification. Therefore, I become envious like a snake because I want to dominate. And that causes so much anxiety and misery. Therefore, we have to hear from bona fide authority to shed that kind of envy and desire to dominate. And we'll all feel so much happier and so much more relieved from this suffering state. So I'm going to stop here if there's any questions or comments, Prabhu.
Well, I think there's times when to resist desire to dominate, there's times when you the impulses of these long-cherished desires, the desire to act on them, sometimes it seems impossible. There's just moments where it just seems, I can't get over this. So what can we do when that's not happening, so that when it does happen, it's not so bad?
Yeah, we should always stay in association of devotees, one, because they will always help us, right? And then if we're always trying to engage in proper hearing and chanting in the different nine processes of devotional service as best as possible, you know, and keeping a strong sadhana day after day, then that will help us to check trying to fulfill long-cherished material desires. So it's like, you know, the bodybuilder, right? If day by day is building strength, right? And therefore they have that sustained strength, right? And their muscles have that strength because they've been regularly working out. So the spiritualist has to work out too. They have to also engage in a regular exercise, a sadhana, right? And that gives us that strength. But the main thing is association with devotees. Because with that, everything else will come. And even if we're not always physically with devotees, you know, within the temple itself during the day, we have that association in our heart, right? So sometimes we're out and around and we're not physically with the devotees, but the association can be there in our heart. Like Prabhupada said, I always felt like my guru was with me, always. He always felt his association. But for us, as some of us, you know, we may feel I'm a little neophyte, so I really need to support myself as much as possible with the association of the devotees as much as possible. And then even when one is completely liberated, the Paramahamsas, they relish association of devotees even more because they're Paramahamsas and they feel with pure spiritual emotions, the bliss of that association, even though they're topmost Paramahamsas. So, but as neophytes, you know, we can practice and be in association while we're practicing. That will help us the best. Okay, anything else? If not, we'll stop here. All glories to Bhagavad Gita as it is, and all glories to Srila Prabhupada.